I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in the 5th verse, and we're going to read through the 10th as follows. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said, he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. In other words, Jesus did not raise himself up to be a high priest, but the one who spoke authenticating his ministry, he's the one that did it. In other words, his Father. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, that is Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared or reverenced God, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I had read through this passage on numerous occasions and never really saw a key, significant, essential, and central truth concerning the nature of the man Jesus Christ until one day the Lord just opened, as I was reading through this passage, he just opened up the 8th and the 9th verses for me. And as I read them and meditated on them, he showed me so much very important insight concerning the life and the ministry of the man Jesus of Nazareth. And I want to talk to you briefly about that this morning in light of the fact that today is a day in which we're going to recognize our academy teachers. I want to share some news with you concerning the academy. I want to explain to you some of the things that are going on in the academy and have been going on, what our plans are, what we're doing. And so I want to give you an update, if you will, on the academy today. And in so doing, I wanted to set a frame of reference for us as we ministered on that subject and as we're thinking today. Hallelujah. Jesus be praised. Father, I bless you and I exalt you. I magnify in the presence of this congregation thy holy name. I give praise and honor and worship and adoration to thy name. There is no other God but thee. There is no other God but thee. There's no other plan but thine. There are no other ways but thine. I bless you. I praise you. I adore you. I magnify you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 As we're thinking today about the education and the instruction of our children, I want us to look today at the humanity of the man Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in so doing, I do not want to deprecate at all his deity. I want to say going in that Jesus is, was, and always will be God Almighty in the flesh. Jesus is God in the form of a man. Jesus is God in a man's body. He is God made flesh. And devil, get out of the sound system in Jesus' name. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue anything I would say today. We believe, and the Bible teaches so clearly, that Jesus Christ is fully God and he is fully man. He is all that God is and he is all that man is. And the fact that he is God does not depreciate his humanity. And the fact that he is man does not depreciate or compromise his deity. He is both man and God. And if you say how, I don't know exactly. I mean, I know how it happened. The Holy Ghost, God, came upon Mary, a woman. And the two of them together formed seed. He became 100% man and 100% God. He was born God in the
flesh. But today, I want to concentrate on his manhood, on his humanity, on the fact that he was not only Son of God, but he was Son of Man. If you will read the scriptures, you will find that Jesus more often called himself the Son of Man than he did the Son of God, even though he was both. But he wanted it known that he was fully human. He's exactly like you. If your child is sitting in this congregation today, I want you to turn and look at your child, and I want you to see that Jesus was just like he. That Jesus was just like she. Fully human. Now, I think it's important for us to recognize that when Jesus was born, when the Son of God came in the form of human flesh, he was born with tremendous potential and promise. The Old Testament scriptures had brought forth prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that when the Son of God, the Messiah, was born, that he would do many wondrous and grand things. When he was born, he was a child with fantastic, unbelievable, incredible to the human mind promise. He had unlimited potential. The angel spoke to Joseph and said, he will save his people from their sins. Talk about potential. Talk about promise. The angel spoke to Mary in Luke's gospel. The record is, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and his father will give unto him the throne of his father David. Tremendous promise and tremendous potential. But I want you to understand this morning that Jesus Christ did not become all that he could be automatically. It did not happen automatically. When he was born, it was not a foregone conclusion that he should become the Savior of the world, that he should be great, that he should be the greatest, that he should have the throne of his father David, or that he should save his people from their sins. It was not automatic. How do we know it wasn't automatic? First of all, we see that Herod tried to kill him. When he was under 2 years old, Herod had all of the little boys in that whole area around Bethlehem killed. We find that when he was old, when he was adult, the devil took him when he was in the wilderness, and the scripture says the devil tempted him. Now, if he was tempted, there was a possibility that he could fall. Amen. Otherwise, it was not a temptation. His becoming the Savior of the world was not 1, 2, 3 automatic and nothing else can happen. That's not true. He had tremendous potential when he was born. But whether or not he would fulfill that potential was a great big question mark all the years of his life until it was fulfilled. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. I say, you don't know your Bible. It was only when his life was given, when his work was finished, when his mission was fulfilled, that the world knew, that the angels knew, that the devils knew, that the potential and the promise which were his when he came into this world had now been fulfilled and had now been completed. But up until that point, there was a possibility that he would never realize that potential. Now, how did Jesus, this tiny baby, this tiny man, born with this fantastic potential and promise, how did he arrive 33 and a half years later at a place where he would fulfill the mission and the ministry that his heavenly Father had created into him? How did that happen? Well, he just kind of tiptoed through the tulips during his life, and he just kind of, you know, God's hand was upon him, and everything worked out okay. And he just kind of flipped onto a cross one day, and he said, the whole thing just happened the way God wanted it. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Is this no good here? All right, I'll just use this one. Let's read the 8th and the 9th verse of Hebrews 5.
Though he were a son. Though he were a what? Son. Jesus was born with the potential to be all that his Father desired for him to be. He was born with the possibility to become what God had intended that he should become. But though he were a son, though he had that special relationship with God, though he were the Son, capital S, Son, though he were the Son of Almighty God, in spite of that, yet, parentheses, because he was a man, learned he obedience by the things he suffered. He learned. Say it with me. He learned. Say it like this. Jesus learned. Say it like
Jesus
that.
Learned.
Say it again. Jesus learned. He was not born with everything that he would be. He learned. Does your Bible say that? Jesus learned. In spite of the fact that he was the Son of God, he had to learn. Say it. Jesus learned. Jesus learned. Now, some of you have never considered that. You've always kind of seen Jesus as this brilliant baby. Silly for us to think this way, isn't it? Huh? Because he is God, we've never seen his manhood. We've never seen his humanity. And we've always seen him in this little cradle thing wrapped into swaddling clothes and all of that in the manger. And we thought that he had to grow up physically, but we thought he was 100% spiritually. No. He learned. Jesus learned. Now, what did Jesus have to learn in order for him to fulfill his ministry according to this verse? He had to learn obedience. That was the thing that he must learn. Why had to he learn obedience? Why was it necessary that he learn obedience? For we see in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Is Jesus going to go to the cross and give his life unless he is obedient? How did he become obedient? He learned obedience. He learned obedience. And so when the time came for him to fulfill the promise and to fulfill the potential that God had established in his life, he was ready, he was prepared, he was able, and he did become the fulfillment of the promise. And he did become the fulfilling of the potential. He learned obedience. Now, I want us to examine in this passage this morning three verbs. The first verb we've already looked at is the verb learned. Jesus learned. Say it with me. Jesus learned. What did he learn?
Obedience.
Say the three words. Jesus learned obedience. Say it again. Jesus learned obedience. He had to be prepared. Now, in the ninth verse, we see the second and the third verb. The second one is two words in the English. In the Greek, it's one word. It says, and being made perfect. Being made perfect. Now, you must understand that the words made perfect do not mean that he was made sinless or that he was made perfection. The context of this and the understanding of this Greek word is that he was completed. To be made perfect in the Greek word has this connotation that it was consummated, that it was finished, that it was fulfilled. And so we would read it, and Jesus was completed. He was made, he was finished. His purpose and the ministry that was in his life was consummated and fulfilled. But I want you to see that he was not born that way. Hello? He was not born consummated. He was not born finished. He was not born completed. He was born with the potential. He was born with the promise. He was born with the possibility. The devil did everything he could to see to it that he would never come to fullness, that he would never come to consummation, that he would never come to maturity and completeness. But God had a plan for him. And because he was learning and because he was growing, something was happening in his life and he was completed. He was finished. He was prepared. He was ready. And that brings us to the third verb. It says, in being made perfect, he became. It doesn't say he was born the author of eternal salvation, but he what? He became. I want you to say, Jesus became. Now that tells me that he was at the end of his life something other than he was at the beginning. You see, he had the potential to be the Savior of the world. The angels announced, today is born unto you a Savior. But he was not the Savior until he was on the cross. And what happened to him between the time he was born with the potential to be the Savior and the day that he actually saved his people from their sins, what did he do? Jesus learned obedience. Say it with me. Jesus learned obedience and then he was made perfect. Say it with me. He was made perfect and then say, he became.
He became.
You understand that?
Amen.
Not many people do. Not many people comprehend that. I don't know that it's all that deep, but it is absolutely essential that we understand it. First of all, we want to know about Jesus, but more than that, and I guess with even more significance, I want to know about this little girl right here. I want to know about this young woman. I shouldn't say little girl, she's a budding young woman. I want to know about this little girl right here and that little boy right there and this little boy right here. I want to know how we get the potential and the promise out of him. I want to know how that blonde-headed boy right back there is going to become what God wants him to be. God wanted Jesus to be the author of eternal salvation. Do you know that he might not have? And if he didn't, you ain't. Because God only had one. What about this lad right here? What if that's the only one God's got? That little blonde boy just staring at me right there, saying, who, me? He doesn't know what, now his dad might know what's in him. His mom might know what's in him. He doesn't know what's in there. I want to meet Joseph one day. Joseph, the father of Jesus. I want to meet him. He is one of my heroes. We know very little about him. But you know, if God would entrust his only son to a father, I want to know that father. I'd like to know him today. I wish he could come. I wish I could have him come tonight and preach. Oh, Lord, wouldn't he have something worth saying? Wouldn't he have something valuable for us to hear? Oh, I'd love to hear his wisdom. I'd love to hear his heart poured out to us. I'd like to know the man. I'd like to see what's inside, the kind of man that God would choose to be a father to his only son. I would like to know what kind of a man that is. I'm sorry that we don't have more information on him. We'll never know about him until we get there. God gave that little boy to a mom and to a dad. Jesus learned obedience. He learned. He was made finished because of what he learned. And when he was finished, he became. I want us to think this morning about our own children. I want you to think about your kids. I want you to ask yourself, what about your own child? Will he become his potential and his promise? Will he become and fulfill God's plan for his life? Are you seeking God for what he wants you to do in your child's life so that your child will learn what he needs to learn? Are you asking the Lord to give you insight and to give you revelation and to give you understanding and to give you specific direction and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this child? Are you diligently seeking the mind of Christ? Father, what is it that you want me to do, even though I may not understand your potential, your promise, and your ministry in him? I want him to fulfill it, and whatever he has to learn, show me what it is so that I can pour it into him. so that I can put him under teachers that will instruct him in the proper way, so that I can create the kind of environment and influences around him, so that I can protect him from the devil. For who wants to destroy the promise that's in your baby? Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. He wanted to destroy the ministry of Jesus, and he wants to destroy the ministry of your child. Will your child fulfill God's plan for his life? You have an influence in that. You of all people. Well, I'll just kind of lay back. You know, I'm kind of a laid back person anyway. I'll just kind of commit this to God. I just kind of let the Lord do, you know, whatever he wants to do. And especially, I'm not going to go against my kids' desires. About time some of us went against our children's desires. Listen, if your child's desires were always perfect, he'd be you and you'd be him. Of course they don't like some of the things that you ask them to do and require them to do. That's why they have moms and dads. That's why God put them in families. Why do you think he put Jesus in a family? Why do you think he gave him he made Adam from a piece of dust. You suppose he needed Mary to have a child? You suppose he needed Joseph? We see he didn't need Joseph. But he needed that child raised. He needed that child prepared. He needed that child to learn some things. He needed that child to become something. He needed to be completed. And he put him in a family to do it. What will your child learn? Will it be pure? Will it be genuine? Or will he get so much that is not true that he'll have to spend the rest of his life sorting out that which is right from that which is wrong? Well, I'm just going to expose him to a little bit of everything so that he learns how to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. I tell you, I am still trying to sort out the bad stuff I got in me. Aren't you? I wish I didn't have it in there. Will your child's life count for something? Will it count for God? Or will it be wasted? I believe Christian education is just that important and just that significant, beloved. I told you one day from this pulpit, if we had one set of parents in this congregation that wanted their child to have a Christian education, we would have a Christian school. I still feel that way. More so than ever! Our children are going to become what they learn. I'm going to say that again. Your child is going to become what he learns. Your little girl is going to become what he learns. Is he going to do all of his learning from God's perspective? Or is he going to get a few snacks like that and get most of his learning from the heathen? Jeremiah said, don't learn the ways of the heathen. Don't learn the ways of the heathen. I think if parents, particularly young parents, I can tell you that I did not know when I was that age. If parents knew the tremendous responsibility that theirs in bringing children into the world, they wouldn't be so quick to bring them in. Now, God wants children and he wants seed, and he places the physical urge in us so that's the consummation of that is the result of what he wants or results in what he wants. But you can make babies a whole lot earlier in your life than you know what it's about to raise them. It's a lot easier to bring them into the world than it is to do what God has instructed us to do in bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I was 20 years old when our first son was born and 21 when our second son was born. All I knew was I love my wife. I mean, that was the whole thing. And the result of that was a bedroom with two cribs in it, filled with babies. Unfortunately, it's after they're up and grown that I finally figured out what I should have been doing for the 20 years that I had them in my home. And I've seen so much, and the Lord is opening so much up for me that I will continue to preach this message to you until we all get a hold of it. I'd like to be able to go back and raise our kids differently. I'd like to go back, and I'd like to start again. Some of the rest of us in this congregation that are a little older, I don't consider myself old, but I'm older than most of you. I'm 44. That's quite young. I used to think when it was 30, you know, that you're on the downside. But now that I've gotten to be 44, I think it's a great age to be. And it's, I feel quite young. I'm sure that, who has it said that that youth gets older and older as every year that passes? If you're 50 today, why, that's fairly young, isn't it? To you. Hallelujah. It's kind of young to me, too, to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. But this is the point I want to make. There are some folks in this congregation whose children are up and already grown. But we're putting money into this ministry for your kids because we think it's important. There are so many folks in this congregation, people who are older and don't have children and people who are younger and don't have children yet, that are putting thousands of dollars into scholarships for the children of those of you who are not able to handle it quite yourself yet, until you can believe God to the place where you can get it together yourself. Because we believe in it. What your child learns is what he's going to become. Bow your head with me just a moment. I want to ask the Lord to do something for us.